Afternoon. I'd like today to talk about the origin and distribution of argillic raisins across Iowa in oval explanation. We have a hypothesis. Our hypothesis says occurrence of depressional wetlands with their silicon-loving vegetation inhibits the formation of argillic raisins. In fact, we did not test this hypothesis in field, but later on we will do it as an investigation of silicon mass balance. For this reason, today I will try to answer some questions, like where are soils with argillic raisins? What relationship exists between location of argillic raisins and soil-forming factors? What is specific about Iowa? And then we will try to answer why this specificity in Iowa. For the methods, we have a lot of data around us available, so we intended to make data mining to test our hypothesis. So we did use many different websites like NRCS, IADNR, USGS, SBADE, which is Iowa Soil Properties and Interpretations Database, and other research data. And also, we used ArcGIS a lot in our project. Results. To answer the first question, where we can find argillic raisins, well, this map can show that. The yellow color represents the occurrence of argillic raisins in each county, in terms of each county has more than 4,000 hectares with argillic raisins, and the white color represents the counties have less than 4,000 hectares in terms of argillic raisins. And here, we can find that argillic raisin locates everywhere, from the eastern part to the western, northern to the southern as well. But, and also, we have a range of climate, a range of vegetation, a range of bare materials, and yet we have argillic horizons everywhere. Inside this red circle, we can find that there is a spot of white color. That means there's a paucity of argillic horizons in there. And yet, this spot is surrounded by a lot of argillic horizons. So what is unique about this part? Well, according to the literature, this white part has many prairie potholes. And to take a closer look to the Midwest, we did choose 17 different counties to test our hypothesis, from North Dakota to Missouri, and we intended to do that to get different pair materials, different climate, different vegetation, and so on. And this map also shows the dominant vegetation in the Midwest, which is grasses, either short or mixed or tall grasses. To translate this map into some numbers, we can figure out that there is a range of mean annual temperature and mean annual precipitation. For the temperature, it ranges from 2.6 degrees Celsius to 13 degrees Celsius. And for the mean annual precipitation, it ranges from 449 millimeter per year to approximately 1,000 millimeter per year. And also we have different types of pair materials, Wisconsin till, lacustrine, Peorian loss, residual, pre-Illinois till, and we will find that all of these kinds of pair materials have argillic raisins in them. And also we have a range of vegetation. To take a closer look to the argillic raisins, the first red box here represents the percentage of argillic raisins in each county from the 17 counties we chose. And they have a range of 2.6% to more than 90% of the land area have argillic raisins. And here in the second box, this represents the percentage of argillic raisins in either mollisols or alfisols. And here we have 100% of all of these counties of the Argelic Crescent occur in molly soils, not in alkali soils. And the same thing with Clay County and Fillmore County in Nebraska. They have more than 90% of their area covered by Argelic Crescent, and all of the Argelic Crescent occur in molly soils. And if we go back to the previous slide, we would find that the rainfall is small, or smaller compared to other counties, and it has a lot of argillic crescents. So in here, we can say that forests accelerate the formation of argillic crescents, but forests are not necessary to form argillic horizons. To make it closer to Iowa, we can find that there is 33.5% of Iowa's land area is covered by argillic crescents. 59% of it occur in alfie soils as eudulfs or aqualfs, and the remaining 41% occur in molly soils as argeudulfs, argeaquals, or argealbals. This map shows the distribution of argillic crescents across Iowa State. The white color represents 0% of argillic crescents. The dark green color represents the majority of argillic crescents, which is more than 50% of each county has argillic crescents in it. And here also we can figure out that the majority of argillic crescents occur in the eastern part as well as the southern part of Iowa. And the lowest amount of argillic crescents occur in both in two areas, which are inside the Des Moines lobe here and in the western part. So why that occurs? Well, if we take a closer look to this 3D elevation map of Iowa, we can figure out that the western part has a steep slope. That means the erosion takes place, and then the B horizon is a weakly developed B horizon. So what's unique about Des Moines lobe? So it has less than 5% argillic crescents. According to our hypothesis, we hypothesize that this happens because of the occurrence of depressional wetlands and silicon-loving vegetation. And to test our hypothesis, we, in Iowa specifically, we chose three different counties: Marshall County, Guthrie County, and Webster County. And here, as you see, Guthrie and Marshall have some parts in them of them inside the Des Moines lobe and other parts outside the Des Moines lobe. And both of them have a significant amount of argillic crescents. So we want exactly to know where the argillic crescents in those two areas locate. Do they locate inside the Des Moines lobe or outside the Des Moines lobe? And here we also chose Webster County, which locates entirely inside the Des Moines lobe. So this map shows the distribution of argillic crescents across Guthrie County. And the green color here represents the argillic crescents, and the yellow color represents the Des Moines lobe, and the little or red spots here represent the depressional wetlands. We chose Okoboji, Palms, Harps, and Blue Earth as our depressional wetlands. And the same thing with Marshall County. Here, the argillic crescents occur outside the Des Moines lobe rather than inside the Des Moines lobe, and that is because here we have open drainage systems and here we have closed drainage systems with SI loving vegetation. And for Webster County, which locates entirely inside the Des Moines lobe, it has argillic crescents in it. But how much? Less than 5%. Where do they locate? Well, they all locate, or the majority of them locate, along the Des Moines River. And 65% of this occur under alfie soils, and 35% occur under or in molly soils. So we have molly soils and alfie soils with argillic crescents here. And this example shows the difference between closed depression system, closed drainage system, and open drainage system. Here, this is the Doolittle Prairie State Preserve in Story County, Iowa, and it has a lot of closed depression systems with specific kind of vegetation. And here, this is a river, and it has a landscape around it. And we hypothesize that in this part, we have argillic horizons, but in this part, we do not have argillic horizons. Why? Well, because of the wetland vegetation, like cattail, sedge, reeds, in addition to the diatoms, phytoliths, spicules, and sponges. To summarize our hypothesis, if we assume that we have two different landscapes. One landscape has an open drainage system and the other has closed drainage system. We hypothesize that in the closed drainage system, there is no argillic horizon can be formed. Why? Because here, cattails, reeds, or sedges can uptake a lot of silicon. They mine silicon from the soil underneath it. And then the concentration of silicon here gets smaller and smaller. And consequently, the silicon from the landscape will diffuse towards the low concentration. And that means the likelihood of forming new clay minerals is very small, in addition to the encouragement of weathering of fine materials in order to reach the equilibrium according to Lou Chatelier principle. And here, on the other hand, if we have the open drainage system, the silicon concentration is almost constant across the landscape because there's no consumption of silicon in here. So the likelihood of forming new clay minerals is larger compared to the closed drainage systems. If we use some numbers to prove that, well, according to the literature, cattails can uptake around 558 tons per hectare in 3,000 years. And for deciduous forest, they can uptake only 135 tons per hectare in 3,000 years. So we are mining, or the vegetation here can mine silicon from the landscape. This can be a larger number if we add diatoms, spicules, and sponges in it, because all of these creatures precipitate the silicon in their shells or in their bodies and transfer them the silicon from a soluble constituent to a unsoluble constituent. In conclusion, we can conclude that the argillic horizons are almost everywhere in the United States, and also open catenas or open drainage systems favor the argillic horizon formation. And finally, the closed depressions and wetlands with their silicon-loving vegetation preclude the formation of argillic horizons. Yes.
Doesn't the open stream system wash all the silica away, so it actually uses even more silica than the cattails?
No. It the movement of the mass flow of silicon in the open drainage systems is very, very small. So it doesn't wash or take away a lot of silicon to other places.
It's really analogous to phosphorus silicon behavior. And so the whole system in is super saturated with silica, whether we're talking river system or the upland. And so there is, as Mustafa is indicating, there is silica export. But when you do a mass balance and you look at the amount of silica export down a flowing stream, it's on the order of magnitude less than what's being taken up by an active pathogenic factor like a sedges or reeds or such. So there is export, but it's in many cases offset by actually atmospheric deposition of new silica into the system.
Okay. Scott?
So since about 90-some% of the Des Moines lobe is drained now, does that mean there are argillic horizons forming?
No, for argillic horizon to be formed, it needs some thousands of years.
Well, yeah, but
so later on, so if we will be still alive, we will find argillic resins in there.
Yeah. Hey, one more question.
What about the silica that they do to the bottom of the very bottom? I mean, it's concentration is going to build up to a point. It's not going anywhere. So at some point, there's just going to have an equilibrium flow towards it.
Right? You mean inside the wetland?
Yeah.
The vegetation uptake the silicon and precipitate it inside their cells as phytoliths. And after the plants die, right, the phytoliths accumulate in situ. But the rate of dissolution of phytoliths is much smaller compared to the rate of uptaking silicon from the soil. So you are still mining the soils, the silicon from the soil. And that's because many literature show the occurrence of phytoliths in the surface horizon in wetlands is huge. So you are still mining the silicon from the system.
Okay.